A couple of weeks ago, the New York Times Magazine gave Julian Barnes the honorary title of Chameleon Novelist in recognition of the fact that few of his 11 published books have been on the same subject. He's written about death, obsessional love, world history, and literature itself. His latest book, The Porcupine, is about the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe. Critic Maureen Corrigan says Barnes may have finally tried a subject that defies his quick-change artistry.
Some years ago, when that strange Peter Greenaway movie, The Draftsman's Contract, came out, I went to see it with a friend who was also at that time a graduate student in literature. When the movie was over, I asked her what she thought, and after a very pregnant pause, she said, "I didn't not like it." That phrase has always stayed with me because it so neatly encapsulated all the bad things I thought would happen to your mind if you stayed in graduate school too long. Namely, you'd become intellectually gutless and your sentence structure would get all screwed up. Well, a few days ago, I finished Julian Barnes's novel, The Porcupine. I expected to rave about it because I loved his last book, Talking It Over, and because I like what's called the collage style of writing, a blend of fiction, literary criticism, footnotes, and satire that Barnes pulls off with ironic panache. But The Porcupine is much more spare, and when I finished it, only one phrase seemed adequate to convey the mild amusement and thin disappointment I'd felt while reading it. Believe me, I've struggled to find an alternative, but I'm afraid that the best and the worst I can say about The Porcupine is, I didn't not like it. The Porcupine is set in an anonymous Eastern European country that's mostly meant to be Bulgaria. It focuses on the trial of a deposed Communist Party leader named Petkanov. He's the porcupine of the novel's title because he's prickly and cunning, not old and remorseful, the way these guys often are when they're finally forced to account for their crimes. Petkanov acts as his own defense attorney, a dramatic situation that pits him against an ambitious prosecutor named Peter Selinsky. In the course of the televised trial, idealistic Selinsky stoops to a few dirty tricks of his own to get Petkanov convicted. This courtroom novel lets Barnes display his flair for crisp dialogue and his appreciation of political inanities. He invites us to chortle along with him as Selinsky recounts the events which led to the mighty Petkanov's overthrow. Apparently, the revolution was begun by a bunch of loony demonstrators who decided to stand outside a military installation one day and shout Dadaist slogans like, "Give us ideology, not bread," "Thank you for the price rises," and "Thank you for the martyrdom." Pretty funny. So what's not to like about The Porcupine? For one thing, the conceit of having Selinsky the accuser see his own sins mirrored in Petkanov the accused is a musty, melodramatic gimmick. A more serious problem with The Porcupine is that same absurdist take on Eastern European politics that I was just praising a minute ago. I'm not saying that because Barnes is British, he can't write about Bulgaria, any more than I think that women can't write about men, or whites can't write about African Americans, or vice versa. But sometimes the political humor here is too condescending, too slapsticky. It's reminiscent of the Marx Brothers in Duck Soup, yucking it up in old Fredonia. If you want to read a good Barnes novel on betrayal, I recommend Talking It Over. And his detective stories, written under the pseudonym Dan Cavanaugh, also give you a nice sense of the contemporary world gone wrong. But maybe Eastern European politics isn't Barnes' subject. As a political novel, The Porcupine is more nettlesome than incisive.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.